This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to the Expanded Lovemaking Show. I'm your host, Dr. Patty Taylor of expandedlovemaking.com, and I teach you how to make exquisite love. This is part one of a two-part series. Today, we're talking about secret maps to sexual pleasure. Have you ever heard people say that we only use 10% of our brains? I find that fascinating. I always wonder, what would happen if we employed the other 90%, or even another 10%? Would we double our capacity as a human being? Well, when it comes to genital anatomy, a similar question arises. After all, we're only using a limited amount of our inborn, innate genitalia. How can we use more of it? Or even all of it? And how much more pleasure could we be having? Well, here to discuss this essential topic is today's guest, Sherry Winston. So I am so pleased to welcome our guest for today, Sherry. Hi, Sherry, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Patty. It is a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, hi, Sherry. Let me tell our listeners about you, Sherry. Sherry Winston is the founder of the Center for Intimate Arts with her background in nursing, healing arts, and massage. And it's a really long list, so I'm not going into it, but she's got an extensive background in all of those areas. Sherry brings a unique and integral perspective to her curriculum of over 45 intimate arts and holistic sexuality classes. She's located in Kingston, New York, and also works with clients privately and by phone. So today we're talking about the genital anatomy, and I know women have a clitoris, so I thought maybe that's where we'd start. Can you tell us what one is?
Well, I will, but let me give you a few more overview ideas about female genital anatomy, and then I'll get more specific. Because one of the problems we have in our culture is we don't actually have an accurate understanding of female genital anatomy. And when I say we, I mean medical professionals, sexuality teachers, as well as the general public. And so it's like we're trying to play the piano, but we only know about some of the keys. And we're left not being able to make the most exquisite music possible because women have parts that they don't know about and their partners don't know about. And there's actually a very interesting history about how that came about. Maybe we'll talk about that some other day. But the bottom line is women have a system, a network of structures that are responsible for arousal and orgasm. And when we understand it as a system and how it all works together, then we can really start to fully utilize our instrument. Now, a little over 100 years ago, we didn't even have the head of the clitoris. And it's a reflection of cultural attitudes about women's sexuality because all of the parts responsible for reproduction were still in the anatomy books. The parts responsible for pleasure got left out. So about 100 years ago, we got back the head of the clitoris. Now, this is a fine thing to have gotten back. I'm glad we have it. I'm glad people know it exists. It is a really amazing structure. It is the most sensitive structure in the male or female body. In that little, somewhere between a pea and an olive-sized organ, we've got 6,000 to 8,000 nerve endings, making it exquisitely sensitive. But that's just the head of the clitoris. The clitoris is actually a three-part structure. And there are other structures that make up what I call the erectile network. So let me tell you a little bit about the erectile network, and then I can tell you more about some of those other structures we have.
That would be wonderful. And I just have to pause for one moment and we'll go on. I'm in a moment of shock to think that people just located the head of the clitoris 100 years ago. I think they located it millions of years ago, but they only recognized it 100 years ago, right?
Well, what I mean by that, the study of anatomy, the official study of anatomy by scientists and doctors, human beings who are playing with each other, they found the good bits. They didn't have books. But for established institutional learning, the study of anatomy actually goes through a really interesting process where all the parts that I'm going to talk about were pretty much known about at some point, and then they got forgotten. Yeah, I call it genital amnesia.
Well, I wanted to point out that it's like the emperor is wearing clothes or not wearing clothes. It's like we have these parts, but people were blind to those parts. And so I'm so glad to have you on today because you are revealing things that are there that people have been unable to see for quite a long time. And the fact that doctors were only able to see the clitoris 100 years ago, something that's been there all along, and, you know, we laugh about that now. It seems so obvious. And I think you represent the next generation in being able to see this network of structures about what the clitoris really is way more advanced and sophisticated. So I really want to honor you for coming on and talking about the clitoris, because I think a lot of people now think of the clitoris as just this little button there, and they're going, oh, yeah, well, that's the clitoris. And what you're saying is, no, it's actually this network of structures, and I think we need to open our minds, and this is what you're doing. So it's really a kind of a roundabout way of acknowledging that you're really doing the next generation for us. Thank you, Sherry. Please continue.
Well, and it's my pleasure and my mission. I mean, as you mentioned, I have extensive training. I'm a nurse midwife and gynecology practitioner, so I learned all this stuff extensively in school about anatomy, but the stuff that I'm talking about now, I didn't learn in those places. So it was none of this, the stuff that I'm going to talk about that's unusual comes from my many, many years of official medical education or my years of studying tantra or holistic healing or any of those places. The information has just gotten lost. So we need to reclaim it.
Yes, this is very leading edge. So please continue. I think it's amazing work that you're doing.
Well, it's pretty exciting and empowering. You know, one of the things that happens when our mental model doesn't match the reality of our experience is that we tend to discount our own experience. And so we have a lot of people walking around thinking that they're broken or they don't work right or there's something wrong with them. But what they don't get is that it's the map, it's the model that's flawed. And when you have a map that matches your experience instantly expands. You get these moments, you just go, oh, that's what I have. Oh, that's what's going on. So let me tell you.
Please.
Let me tell you what's down there. Women have a network of structures that are all made out of erectile tissue. Now, erectile tissue, we all know what that is because everyone's familiar with the fabulous penis. And its amazing abilities to go from being small and soft to getting big and hard. We all know about that. It's a wonderful thing that it can do that. The thing is, the reason it can do that is because it's primarily made up of this specialized erectile tissue. Now, here's the kicker. Women have got just as much erectile tissue as men.
Now, can you tell us what erectile tissue is?
It's specialized tissue. Without going into the details, in my class and in the book that I've got coming out and my DVD and all that stuff, I go into exquisite detail about it. But to just summarize, it's special tissue that can fill up with blood. And that's what gives it its ability to go from small and soft to big and hard.
And it feels really good, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it feels really good. The more it fills up with blood, that's called engorgement, the more engorged it gets, the more sensitive it gets.
Right, because the nerve endings spread out, right?
Well, it activates the nerve endings and does all kinds of wonderful things.
Okay, well, okay, good.
So here's the thing, though. Women have pound for pound, inch for inch, just as much erectile tissue as men do, except instead of it being in this one unit, it is separated into these different structures. So the clitoris is made of erectile tissue. There are three parts to the clitoris, and then there are several other structures also made of erectile tissue that work together as a system, as a network.
Well, we better find that erectile tissue. I'm telling you, where is this located?
I know, it's so much fun to find it. That's why I'm always telling people there's homework. It's really home play.
I want my erectile tissue.
You want to know. You want to know where it is.
Where is this?
Well, it's when I teach the class and in the DVD, I give people homework. And the homework is to actually go, and if you own this equipment, to find it on yourself. And if you are just a lucky visitor to somebody else's equipment, obviously with her cooperation, you can find all of the things I'm going to tell you about.
Okay, well, we're going to take a quick break. And please stay with us. And then we'll find out more about these interesting things. This is Dr. Patty Taylor, and I'm here with Sherry Winston. And you can learn more about Sherry at her website, SherryWinston.com, and I'm going to spell that SHERIWINSTON.com. And it's a great website. It's full of blogs and movies and DVDs, all kinds of things. Anyway, please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Listen to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, a weekly internet audio program from PersonalLifeMedia.com. Learn ancient secrets that turn on the soul of sex at PersonalLifeMedia.com.
We're back. We're talking about erectile tissue. Where to find it? Please continue.
So the female erectile network we'll begin with the head of the clitoris, the part that everybody already knows about, that is indeed made of erectile tissue. Then there's the shaft underneath the hood of the clitoris. If you put your fingers on the skin, right above the head of the clitoris, and you push down under the skin, you'll feel what feels like a round, almost like a chopstick roundness. And that's the shaft of the clitoris. And that is made of erectile tissue. At the base of the shaft, the clitoris splits into two. It has two legs, like a fat wishbone.
So I'm going to stop you right there.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about the shaft.
Okay.
All right. I love my shaft, and I have gotten off so many times with a man just playing with my shaft without even rubbing the head of my clitoris. I've had orgasms on my shaft. Just, I've sent me into complete bliss and ecstasy.
Well, it's erectile tissue, first of all, so naturally it is happy to respond. And the other thing is the head of the clitoris has got so many nerve endings. It's so sensitive that it can easily be overstimulated or irritated. And the shaft is actually a safer place to play because it's less likely to get that have that problem.
That's right. So a lot of women also will often ask their partner to, or prefer themselves either way, to just touch their shaft, which is underneath the hood, usually their clitoral hood, which is the, I don't know what you call that, but it's, there's a hood covering the shaft.
Mm-hmm.
It's the skin. I just ask to be played with through the skin that covers the shaft,
mm-hmm,
instead of directly on the clit, because mm-hmm, they actually will enjoy that more. And you can find the shaft very easily just by pinching kind of the sides of the shaft and kind of going up and down. It feels like an almond. You'll feel the shaft right between your two fingers.
Mm-hmm.
But do you have any other suggestions for accessing the shaft?
Well, it's in a sort of a fibrous tube and there's a little play to it. So if you have your finger sort of flat on the skin above it and you're pressing through the skin, you can roll it back and forth a little bit and make little circles on it and go up and down or sideways. And those are some of women's favorite solo sex moves, in fact.
Uh-huh.
So that is a popular move. And then, of course, since you're doing homework, since you're checking all this out, I love to encourage people, look at the head of the clitoris, look at the size, the shape, the color, feel it, feel the shaft, and then after you pleasure yourself for a while, or your partner does the job for you, after you're really aroused, check it out again and see how it changes. See how the head swells up, gets more red or almost purple, feel how the shaft enlarges, and that's what starts getting you thinking, oh, yeah, this is erectile tissue I'm playing with.
Oh, you're darn right it is.
Mm-hmm.
Not just the shaft, the shift. There's good stuff.
Now, the clitoris also has legs. So at the base of the shaft, it splits into two, and one leg on either side, kind of like a wishbone. And it's the legs are the part you really are not usually going to be able to find. They're buried under a lot of tissue. But at high-level arousal, you can often find the tops of the legs.
Where are they?
So once you've found the shaft, put your fingers a little bit wider apart, feel through the skin, and at high-level arousal, you might be able to feel kind of these ropey, the tops of the legs of the clitoris.
Okay, can you walk us through that one more time?
I can. This is easy to do with pictures or pussy pillow. But you've got your fingers on the shaft, and you just separate them a little bit. So you've got one finger on either side, and feel through the skin. And at low-level arousal, you probably won't feel anything. But at high-level arousal, you might be able to feel the tops of the legs. How's that?
Okay, that is great. Great. I felt my legs. They feel pretty good, you know, when I play mm-hmm. with it. I mean, I like it all.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, every woman is different. So for some women, they will be able to feel them more easily at lower-level arousal. Other women, it'll be easier to feel at high level. But if you can find them, then you want to sort of follow them down and see how far down you can follow them. They will at some point get buried under too much tissue to really feel, but it's a fun little game to find out how much of them you can feel.
I think you're making a really good point, which is the level of arousal. Can you say more about that? Like, doesn't it depend on how aroused you are in terms of how good your homework's going to be here?
Well, that's why it's actually important to do your homework in stages. If you think again about a penis, if all you were doing was checking out a flaccid penis, and if that's all you knew and all you saw, you would think, okay, well, penises are these small, soft, little floppy things.
Uh-huh.
But then when they have their magnificent erection, you go, wow, look at how big and hard and how the color's changing. And so the same thing goes with the genital anatomy of women, that system, which is you really want to be able to see how it transforms with arousal and what happens as it gets engorged. So that's why I think it's great to really do your homework in stages where you check everything out, completely non-aroused, play around for a while, get to like medium arousal, check it out again, play some more, get to the point where you're almost having an orgasm, and stop, that's the hard part, stop and check it all out again at high-level arousal, and you'll be able to pretty much, I think, amaze yourself, really, with just how much is there and how big it gets and how dramatic the change is once you start paying attention and noticing it.
Well, I think that is phenomenal advice, and I think I'm about 20 different women. My genital landscape goes through at least that many changes as I get aroused. You know, my hot spots change,
mm-hmm.
what works and doesn't work goes through, but, you know, as the erectile tissue changes.
And whether it gets attention or not, because one of the things that's somewhat different with women from men is because of the arrangement they have, that's kind of an all-or-nothing system. You don't have, you know, a quarter of the penis hard. Right? The whole thing's, you know, in the game. I mean, there's different levels of hardness. But it's not like one chunk can be hard and the rest can be soft. But because women have this network of structures, we can get aroused and orgasmic with just some of those structures engaged.
Interesting.
And that is one of the reasons that women can have orgasms that are good orgasms, but they aren't the fireworks going off, earth-moving kind of orgasms. Because if you're only using part of the system, it's not going to be as good.
Amazing. I want to say there's a good map on Wikipedia, if you just look up clitoris, that shows the legs and the shaft and all of that.
I'll tell you the other place to look is a book called New View of a Woman's Body.
Okay, great, great.
It's an old book that's been in and out of print, but it was the one that got me started whenever it first came out 20 years ago or something, going, wait a minute, there's more here than they taught me in school.
Wow, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then what happens? You've got the legs, the shaft, it's a whole network.
Okay, well, that's just the three parts of the clitoris. The next part of the erectile network are what are called the vestibular bulbs.
Ooh.
Now, the vestibular bulbs are like two big fat parentheses. They're underneath the outer lips. There's one on either side. And the bottom part of them, which is very fat and bulbular, is on either side of the vaginal opening. But they run up along the sides, and they actually attach to the shaft of the clitoris. So, did you get that? Should I do that again?
No. Just tell me how to rub it at what point during the date so I can get off better, okay?
Okay,
and all my
that.
Listeners, okay?
So basically, they're underneath the outer lips, and they like firm, broad stimulation. You know how sometimes you're making out with somebody and they've got their thigh pressed up against your whole crotch? The reason that feels good is that's stimulating the vestibular bulbs.
So next time some guy is just like, I'm just kind of really pressing into him, I'm like, oh, God, my vestibular bulb. Oh,
exactly. And the bulbs are great because they get huge. You should have a handful of pussy when it's really important. And there, you know the way a penis can just, you just start playing with it if it's limp and it just like puffs up in your hand like the Pillsbury Doughboy. You know how fun that is?
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, the bulbs are like that. When you start playing with them, they just puff right up.
Ooh.
I know. And when I first discovered these, I literally sat there and went, how did I miss this?
And they're erectile tissue, too?
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, when they get really big and puffy, then the sensations around the vaginal opening, not only are the sensations around the vaginal opening better, but it also is connected to the clitoris.
Well, I mean, I knew all that stuff felt good, but
mm-hmm.
Now I know why I need to do more homework to see why it feels so good.
Well, you know, when I first started having sex, I did not have orgasms from intercourse. And over half of women don't have orgasms from intercourse. Now, there's a number of reasons why that is so, but one of the reasons is because we don't know about the bulbs. And if you don't know about them and you don't play with them and they don't get big and puffy and erect, then it's not going to feel as good when you have something inside your vagina.
Mm-hmm.
But when those bulbs are big and puffy, well, then it's like, oh, not only does it feel great to have something there, it also connects up with the clitoral system.
It makes total sense to me.
Doesn't it?
Engorgement is the key to, you know, being orgasmic. So, and having it feel good when you're making love,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we're going to take another break. I don't
and
think anyone's
I've got more
go
to tell you.
Please stay with us. We are talking with Sherry Winston. You can learn more about her at her website, sherrywinston.com. And so you're the author of a book coming out in the fall, right?
I am. I have a book coming out.
And The Anatomy of Arousal, interestingly enough, Women's Unknown Erectile Circuits and Other Secret Maps to Buried Pleasure. So
yes,
can't
ma'am.
Wait to hear that. So please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Listen to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, a podcast providing weekly audio workshops for your pleasure and connection on personallifemedia.com.
We're back, and we're talking with Sherry Winston about secret maps to sexual pleasure and how it all links up. So what else is there to link up?
Well, we were just talking. We talked so far about the three parts of the clitoris, and we talked about the vestibular bulbs and how they actually connect up to the shaft and are those big fat parentheses that go around the opening of the vagina, and that the way you get at them is through the outer lips. So you're going to put your hand on the outer lips and press down and rub what's underneath there. So that's all the stuff you can get to from the outside. But now we're going to go inside and find some more erectile structures. The first one I'll talk about is in the floor of the vagina. And it is in the wall between the vaginal canal and the anal canal. And this erectile tissue is just almost nowhere. Almost nobody gets that there's erectile tissue that's in the floor of the vagina. So if you were feeling it for yourself, you would put your thumb inside your vagina and push down towards your butt.
Well, I just want to say that I love that. I didn't know it was erectile tissue, but we do that, you know, often. And it's, like, totally amazing. I didn't know it was erectile tissue, so please continue.
Isn't it great?
You're like, oh, my God. Great.
Wow.
Wonderful. Yeah. Keep going.
Another way to get to that one is if you have one finger in the vagina and one finger in the ass.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, a well-lubed finger, and everyone knows. Once the finger's been in the ass, it can't go back in the pussy, but
right.
If you have two fingers, one in each hole, you'll feel, and you'll be about an inch inside, more or less, it'll depend on your anatomy, you'll feel a fat place between the walls. That's where the erectile tissue is. If you go further in, if you go deeper in, then it gets very thin, the wall between the two canals.
Right, and there's so many nerve endings in the ass, too. I mean, it's a win-win situation, right? There's no erectile tissue now in the anus, but is there?
Well, this erectile tissue that's in the floor of the vagina is also basically in, there's sort of like a triangle of the perineal, that skin between the two holes.
Uh-huh.
And then you've got a canal that converge, and so there's like a triangle between them.
Right.
And that is erectile tissue. And you can get to that from the ass.
Oh, okay. So you sort of can't lose once you're in that area, basically, right?
Yeah, and I mean the whole, you know, there's all these nerve pathways in that wall between the two also.
Okay, cool. So basically, once you start lighting things up, the way I see it, the easier it gets. Now, let me stop and just ask you one question. My thought is, or my experience is, when you start with the clit and then you kind of spread your way out, that by starting with the head of the clit, since that's where the concentration of nerve ending is right up in the head, it's sort of easier to spread things out and then work your way down in terms of engorgement. Would you say that's true?
Well, I have a little bit of a different take on that.
Okay.
And it's about how sexual energy moves and how it tends to move somewhat differently for men and women. We both have, everyone has both masculine and feminine or yin and yang sexual energy, however you want to frame it. But generally speaking, most women have more of what I call yin sexual energy, and most men tend to have more of that yang kind. Another way of looking at it is pussycats and puppy dogs, but we can talk about that one another day. Yin sexual energy starts from the outside and moves towards the center. And yang energy starts in the sex center and can stay there. It doesn't have to anywhere it has to go. Or it can move outward. So in general, when playing with women and female genitalia, I usually suggest that, well, first of all, you don't start with the genitalia, right? You start with the rest of the body, and you start with the mind and feeling safe, and you're moving the energy. You're trying to coalesce it. You're trying to pull that energy down towards the genitals. Once you're actually at the genitals, I think the best place to start is actually the most external structures in a way, and I think the vestibular bulbs are a great place to start.
Okay, sure. That would make total sense.
And then move to the shaft of the clitoris.
Uh-huh.
And not actually even get to the head of the clitoris until the woman is at moderate or high level arousal.
Makes total sense. Absolutely total sense. Get her engorged and then go to the clit. And then go to the clit, right, and then start spreading the energy elsewhere.
Yes. Vagina, you do reach up into the roof of it, but it isn't a round dime size spot. It'll feel like a ridge that will run along the top. And you can feel, if your fingers are together, you'll feel the center of the ridge. If you move your fingers apart a little bit, you'll feel along the sides. If you can reach in deep enough, you can feel the back of it where it ends. So it's about more or less 2 inches long. And also, and this is sort of advanced homework, but if you have a good light and a magnifying mirror, and you play with all of those yummy parts of the erectile network, you get everything really big and juicy and swollen, including that tube of erectile tissue, which has got various names, but I prefer calling it the sponge. And that spongy tube of erectile tissue, you can actually, from the outside, look at where the urethra is, and you'll see the end of the tube, like a raised area around the urethral opening.
Well, that sounds like very, very fun homework. Now, I often call it the G area, and I just substitute goddess for G.
So yeah, that one works, too. And, you know, like I said, I want to try and get away from the spot thing, too. So
it's true.
Yeah, they're all, you know, we're all coming up with names, like the squirt tube.
The thing I don't like about spot is that it implies that there's one spot.
Mm-hmm,
and
exactly.
There isn't one spot. To me, there are lots of spots. And like you said, I didn't know it was 2 inches long. My goodness. I just knew it was an area. And to me, it's like it's lighting, different areas are lighting up at different points in time. So at first, it feels really good. And I have certain areas that I like at different times. Mm-hmm. Certain area on the right that I like. And then there's this place kind of a little to the left that I often like. And you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. You know, and what's interesting is part of it is about arousal level and how engorged the tissue is. The other piece of this is there's a whole other part, which we're not really talking about right now, about nerve pathways. And that women have certain spots where a major nerve is sort of entering and branching, and those are very good spots to find.
That's right. That's right. Uh-huh. Well, we're going to have to bring the show to the close pretty soon. You didn't talk about the cervix, but there is when you go way past not way past, it's not that big down there, but slightly past the G area and or the sponge and sort of reach around and sort of caress the cervix. It's a cervical area. Different women like it sort of behind or under or on or, you know.
Well, this gets into the nerve pathways.
Yes, the nerve pathways. So we're not going to...
Different nerve pathways. There
go
are,
into that. Yeah, come on.
Yeah. I mean, in short, there are some major nerve pathways that enter just behind the cervix. And then nerve patterns are one of the things people are more individual about than almost any other part of anatomy. So that's why some women, there'll be a spot here that they really like. Another woman, that spot won't do anything for them.
Well, I'm glad we squeezed that in the show. We do want to talk about men. Thank God we have a part two in this show. So we're going to bring the show.
Well, I will tell you that there's a whole bunch of stuff about women. We did cover the whole erectile network, but we didn't even begin to talk about the uterus and the cervix. So we've got more to talk about another time.
Okay, well, maybe in part two. We will bring this show to a close. I would love to invite you to share a parting thought or quote.
Well, I would just say that I really encourage people to go home and do their homework play and really discover this for themselves. Because once you do, once you own this knowledge, once you know it's the way it is, then no one can tell you different. So I really want to encourage people to become their own experts.
I love that.
Thank you.
Short and to the point. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Oh, it is my pleasure.
Yes, we've been talking to Sherry Winston about secret maps to sexual pleasure. So you can find out more about Sherry Winston at her website, sherrywinston.com, sherrywinston.com. And she is she's the author of the upcoming book, The Anatomy of Arousal. So thank you so much for listening today. If you haven't already, please check out our new feature, personallifemedia.com. It's called Notify Me, and you can just go to personallifemedia.com/signup to choose same-day notification or get a weekly digest to be notified every time a new episode of the Expanded Lovemaking Show comes out. personallifemedia.com/signup. So please send me, Patty, email at patty@personallifemedia.com for text and transcripts of this show. Also, please visit me, Dr. Patty Taylor, at expandedlovemaking.com, where you can join my mailing list and find out more about my products, services, and events. This is Dr. Patty Taylor. That's all for now. I remain yours in ever-expanding lovemaking. And I'll see you next week.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.